Carrie Job sang that song, as so many other artists have. And that song is taken from Revelation chapter 4. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's straight out of the scripture. And if you want to read the book of Revelation, and I know some of you probably think, oh, that's a confusing book to me, that's a scary book to me. No, it shouldn't be. But there's a way that you read the book of the Revelation. There's a way that you read it, seriously. And you read it as scenes in heaven and then scenes on earth. Scenes in heaven and then scenes on earth. It's the pattern of that book has been written in such a way that we are constantly seeing what is occurring in heaven and coming from heaven, and then what is occurring on earth. And so it shouldn't be a book that should frighten you, but Revelation chapter 4 is where that beautiful song has been taken, and so many artists have sung that, and it is an incredible, incredible song. So glad that you're here. Let me, as I have always been, inviting you to take a Bible, if you have a Bible with you, or your pad or your smartphone or however you like to read and study through the Scripture, if you'll just take that, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. You've already looked at the title, I'm sure, of the study today, and it was announced that we're going to have this big potluck supper and dinner and lunch today. And so the subject matter of our righteous act of fasting starts tomorrow. So the application to this message will start tomorrow. We're going to look at a subject perhaps that has been so misunderstood for so many of us for too long, and that is the righteous act of fasting. We've been looking at the righteous act of giving, the righteous act of praying, and today Jesus sort of ends this little trilogy of sermons on the righteous act of fasting. And if you found your Bible or your device there, and you're at Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin looking at verse 16. And so I'm going to invite you once again, as we have been doing every Sunday, if you'll stand in the reverence of the Word of God, and let's, as you read along silently, beginning at verse 16, I'm going to read aloud these three verses before us. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Well, Lord Jesus, again, here we come to a wonderful passage of Scripture that has eternal, life-changing truths. And I trust that we will be faithful to listen to you. Holy Spirit, guide us and teach us through these truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to give you a real quick Drake-Wellian definition of fasting, all right? It is a composite of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words. You might be interested to know, what in the world is he talking about, fasting? I have a doctor, perhaps you do as well, and perhaps in some period of the year you have to go to your doctor for a particular, let's just call him, if they're going to draw blood on that particular examination, and they will instruct you that you need to fast before you do that. Well, you and I know what they mean by that. They mean to abstain from eating anything from midnight, or maybe even drink anything from midnight to your appointment. Is that pretty much whatever y'all? Okay, good. We're all, minds are clear. Okay, well, that's going to help you then in my definition. Here it goes. Ready? I abstain in order to obtain. Did y'all hear the difference of the words? I abstain in order that I might obtain. And that's going to be sort of a little bit of a working. It's kind of short. Hopefully it's sort of sweet as well, because it describes what we really do when we fast. And we're going to sort of see exactly how Jesus teaches us through that. So keep your Bible open. And I want to just because He has given us a what I call a trilogy of messages, the righteous act of giving, the righteous act of praying, and now today the righteous act of fasting. In that trilogy of, I want to give you three thoughts as we just sort of introduce, all right? We're going to just sort of introduce this message, and I'm going to give you three thoughts to sort of just wrap your attention around. The first one is I want you to notice in all three of those, giving, praying, and fasting, notice the consistency. Notice the consistency of this trilogy. In all three of those, He says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. Notice that? It's consistent. The Lord Jesus is a very balanced Father. He's a very balanced Lord in our lives, and so therefore, He is very consistent in these righteous activities that we should be about. So there's first the consistency element in this trilogy. It's interesting, as I got to looking at those three elements, I got to thinking beyond that. And I got to thinking, why those three? I mean, really, just have you ever just thought about, if you've read through the Sermon on the Mount, if you've studied through the Sermon on the Mount, have you ever asked yourself the question, when you get to these three areas, why these three? Why couldn't He have chosen three other types of things? But why these three? Why giving? Why praying? And why fasting? Now think about this. Go beyond the obvious and think about what's not so obvious. What is giving? What is the righteous act of giving really doing? It is an outward expression. Is it not? Look in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, so when you give, watch this, to the poor. It's an outward expression. It's an outward, in essence, it's really an outward expression of my relationship to others. But then Jesus says, and when you pray, well, that's an upward expression of my relationship to God. How giving is a outward expression of my relationship to others, praying is my upward expression in my relationship to God. But then what about fasting? Well, fasting has something to do with that inward expression of my own life. The Bible says in the Psalms, who can ascend into the Lord and who can make their place in the dwelling of the Most High? Listen to the answer. It's a question and it has an answer. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. You know what God is really concerned about us? I think the number one thing that the Lord God wants for you and for me is that we are right on the inside. All this other stuff is you know, it's the inside. And so all through these three, there have been that element. And so therefore, there's a consistency. There's a second little truth that I want you to relate to, and that is I want you to notice not only the consistency of this giving, praying, and fasting, but I also want you to notice the assumption. What's assumed here in these three areas? He doesn't say if you pray, if you give, if you fast. He says what? When. Yeah. What's that? He's assuming. He's assuming that we are going to give, that we are going to pray, that we are going to fast. He's assuming that. Now, is that true of you? I mean, is his assumption of you and me true? Are you giving, for instance? Now, you just have to answer that in your own life. What about this church? Now, this church, I'm going to be very congenial, very sweet and nice. I'm going to be very bold at this point, and I want to make sure that you understand. This church needs your financial support. Does it? Not for me. Not for us, but for the kingdom of God. It needs your financial support. You say, oh, David, I'm on fixed income. Oh, David, I can't do that. Let me just ask you something. How much is a pack of cigarettes today? I see advertisements that says $4, $4.50, $3.75, $3.95. I got a coupon. I don't know, but you know, whenever let's just say that you smoke. I don't know that you do, and I don't. That's not my business. But let's just say that you smoke. Would you be willing? Would you be willing to take the price of one pack of cigarettes at $4.50? Let's just average it at $4.50. You take one pack of cigarettes and the price of that pack of cigarettes, and you would take that $4.50 and that you would give it to the Lord's work instead of giving it to a pack of cigarettes. How much does a six-pack of beer cost? Anybody? I thought you had. Yeah, I thought I'd just try to lead you into that, but no takers. Good. Good response. I don't know how much a pack, but maybe you drink. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to be relevant in this. And so therefore, you went out this past week and you bought a six-pack and it's chilling down in your refrigerator right now, and you're ready for the game. Okay? I don't know how much it costs, but would you be willing to take that price and give it to God's work? And just abstain in order to give? I don't know what it is in your and my life that we could say, you know, that's really not a priority. I need to give to God's work. You know, that's free. You can take that and use that. There's an assumption. Not if we give, or perhaps we might pray, or if it's convenient, I will fast. No, it's when we do that. There's a third one, and that is, notice the contrast or the comparison. Notice the contrast or the comparison. Every time Jesus talks about giving, praying, and fasting, he says, don't be like those people. That's the contrast or a comparison. Don't be like the hypocrites. As a matter of fact, all three times he says that. Don't be like the hypocrites when they give. Don't be like the hypocrites when they pray. Don't be like the hypocrites when they fast. Don't. Now, I know that... Listen. Perhaps you grew up in the arena that, you know, that's all you have understood about church. And you're migrating back to church because you got turned off. You got put out. You unplugged yourself from church because it was the religion of don't. I mean, really, a lot of people do that. A lot of people say, I'm not going back. I'm not going to church because they were always telling me what I should not do. Well, in some respect, Jesus is doing the same thing. But it's not to put you down or put you out. If anything, it's to lift you up. It's to put you on a different level. It's to give you a stride in the spiritual walk in your journey. So what is he doing? He says, yeah, I want to make sure that you understand that there is a world. Just like Lauren's lesson to the children that you and I eavesdropped on, there's an allurement out there. There's a trap out there. And the world is saying, come on. Everybody's doing it. It's all right. Come on. We did it last week, and it's fine. Everything's cool. It's a trap. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't fall for that. So we're going to look at verse 16 and then verse 17 and 18. And I just want to relate two truths about fasting that I trust will help you and me when it comes to understanding a little bit more about this wonderful discipline that Jesus has given us. So the first one is fasting by way of display. Fasting by way of display, because in verse 16, if you'll look at it again, he says, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Notice that? There seems to be the desire of display. Okay? So we need to talk about that. And so keep your Bible open there, because I want to share with you three, I think, strategic verses of Scripture that I think are going to help us. From this passage of Scripture, three other verses of Scripture. So let's just talk for a moment about the use of fasting. The use of fasting. Because Jesus says, whenever you fast. Okay? Whenever you fast. So I want to invite you to put your finger there in Matthew chapter 6, or keep your little ribbon. If you got like one of these things, you can put your little ribbon right there in Matthew chapter 6, or however you can hold that part, that spot. I want you to turn to the Old Testament portion of your Bible, to the book of Daniel. love the book of Daniel. It is one of my favorite Old Testament prophecies. Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to begin looking at verse 3. Daniel chapter 9 and beginning at verse 3. So let me give you, I want to give you two points about the use of fasting. Three, actually. When we fast, first, we are creating a spirit of humility. We're creating a spirit of repentance. When we fast, we are creating a spirit of dependency. Okay? Because Jesus is instructing us in the Sermon on the Mount about this and how important that it is. But what are we in essence doing? Well, we are creating a spirit of repentance, of yieldedness, of humility, of dependence. And in Daniel chapter 9, I just want you to see in the Old Testament, here this individual by the name of Daniel, he's a very aged man by this time. And if you'll notice, he's going to pray for the people. And listen to what he says before he begins this prayer. So I gave attention, in verse 3, so I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God, and I confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant and loving kindness to those who love Him and keep His commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from Your commandments and ordinances. Let's stop there. You see what he's doing? There is a sense of repentance, a sense of humility, of brokenness. And what is he doing? The Bible says that he gave his attention to the Lord and he fasted. I'm grateful that Ann came up to me this morning and she said, boy, last Sunday's message was just clobbered me. Bang, right in the old snozola. I mean, I really, and all week long I stayed in Psalm 37. All week long. That was your homework assignment. All week long I stayed in Psalm 37. And the thing that just really thrilled my soul along all of her testimony, hope you don't mind me saying this, Anne, because I think it's really beneficial to all of us. In her testimony, she said, all week long my focus was on God. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 says, so I gave my attention to the Lord. Do you remember my little six-word definition of fasting? I what? Abstain from one thing in order to obtain something else. I'm abstaining from stuff, whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be food. It may be television. Even worse, Facebook. Oh, Lord, what are you asking us to do? You've ripped us all out of the heart. It may be abstaining from that. Why? In order to give our attention to God. And so therefore, in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3 through 5, there is this fasting that we create as a spirit of repentance and humility and brokenness and yieldedness to God. Now, turn back in your Old Testament Bible to a second passage of Scripture I wanted you to look at, and that's in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. We went through the book of Nehemiah when I first came here to serve in and worship with you here at Crossroads. And Nehemiah chapter 1. You know who the smallest man in the Bible was, don't you? It was Nehemiah. Now you're getting it. See, now you see, it's one of those, okay, slow-cooking type of jokes. In fasting, not only did Daniel share with us and show us that we are creating a spirit of repentance and humility and dependency upon God, but secondly now, in Nehemiah chapter 1, look again at verse 4 and 5, as we fast, we connect with God. It says in verse 4 and 5, when I heard these words, And this is about the captivity of Israel again. Some tragic situations that are happening. The wall of Jerusalem has now been destroyed and broken down. People have taken over the city. Listen to what he says in verse 4 and 5. When I heard these words, I sat down, I wept, I mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who preserves the covenant, the loving kindness of those who love Him and keep His commandments. Sounds very similar to what Daniel said. And by the way, what he was involved with, the righteous activity he was doing exactly what? He was fasting. And what was he doing? He was connecting with God. He was spending his time away from all of what he had been preoccupied with so that he could spend his attention on the Lord. Then there's one final one I want to give you. Turn back into your New Testament portion of your Bible, past Matthew, and stop in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Finally, number 3. In Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 2, as we fast, we pursue God and His purpose. Now think about that. What we've just done is we've just sort of hit some dominoes. We just sort of had some dominoes bump into one another. As we started, we said that in fasting, and while we fast, we create a spirit of humility. We're broken, we're dependent, we're yielded to God. In fasting, and as we fast, what are we doing? We're focusing our attention on the One who has all the answers to all the needs of our life. And as we fast, here in Acts chapter 16, we're now in pursuit. We're in pursuit of who God is, what God has planned for us, His purposes, His plans. Not mine, not yours, not ours, His plans. And so therefore in Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3, as we fast, we pursue God and His purposes. Listen to what it says, beginning at verse 2. This is the first missionary journey, by the way, to the new world. The gospel has just buried these followers of Christ. The church is growing just immeasurably, innumerable saints. And now the gospel's got to go from Jerusalem. It's got to go from those inner city areas and beyond, and now to the far corners of the world. And so this is the first missionary journey. And listen to what it says in verse 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. That was God's plan. That was God's purpose. Just like it was God's plan and purpose to put this church here, for God's plan and purpose to put that church there, for God's plan to send that young couple over to Thailand, for God's purpose for that man in the corporate world to be the Christian man. God has a plan. He has a purpose. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? God has a plan and a purpose for you. And I think sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we delay it simply because we've got our attention on so many things instead of God's plans and purposes for our lives. I remember somebody said this, and I really believe that there's some real truth to this. It's a little coarse. God doesn't make any junk. You're not a mistake. The pathway that you're going is not a mistake. If man's goings are of the Lord, how can then man understand his own way? Guess what? Guess who's in control? You're not, nor am I, but God is. And so what should we do? Folks, we need to abstain in order to obtain. We need to get off all of the agenda of what we think is the right thing to do, and here's the decision I need to make, and we just completely omit God. We put Him on the shelf. I got this. Don't worry. It's cool. Everything's got... We may not say that, but we do that in our lives. And so therefore, the use of fasting, we create this spirit of repentance, we spend our time fasting, connecting with God, and we find His plans and His purposes. But with every use, there is an abuse. Oh, yeah. There's an abuse as well. So If you'll turn back just for a moment to Matthew chapter 5, we'll be there in just a moment. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be there in just a moment. We abuse the act of fasting by desiring to get things from God. That's an abuse. And we do that. Now, the preacher said Sunday that if I fast, I'll get everything I want. I don't think I said that. I hope I didn't say that. And if I did, I'm a liar. So don't believe me. But I didn't say that. I am going to say there is an abuse to fasting. When we think that we're going to enter into this activity with God, that we're going to get everything we want. Let me give you a second abuse, and I want to ask you to put your finger there and turn to Luke chapter 10 just for a moment. We'll be back in Matthew chapter 6 in just a second, but Luke chapter 18 and verse 10, we abuse, secondly, the act of fasting by developing a spirit of self-righteousness. Now, this is where one goes from preaching to meddling. In Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 10, listen to what the Bible says. Jesus is speaking one of these wonderful parables of truth, and he says in verse 10 of Luke chapter 18, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee, y'all know who the Pharisees were? That's kind of that, you know, upper echelon, self-righteous crowd. Y'all know? So all minds clear? The Pharisee stood and was praying this, and I love this, to himself. I always thought that was kind of interesting. To himself, saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector down here on the other end of the wall praying. Listen to what he says. I fast twice a week. Well, God bless you. We're so glad that you told us that. You see what fasting will do if you're not careful, the abuse of it? Jim, what's wrong with you today? Oh, Bob, I've been fasting all night. I've really been with God all night. Is there a tone there that kind of comes across to you like Jim's kind of, and if your name's Jim, then I'm sorry, I just picked that name out of the air, but you see what I'm saying? That sometimes the abuse of fasting can lead us into this self-righteous attitude. And by the way, that abuse of fasting begins on the inside. It begins on the inside. Remember what? If you'll turn back to Matthew chapter 6, remember what Jesus said? He said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, whenever you fast, do not put on a what? Gloomy face. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 19 says, as in water face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. Proverbs 27 verse 19. And so therefore, this abuse begins on the inside. It's sort of an abuse of attitude. That's where it really starts. But then secondly, this abuse also is displayed on the outside. Listen to what Jesus says again in verse 16. He says, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for as they neglect their appearance, they are doing that so that they might be noticed by men. It starts on the inside, but it's displayed on the outside. And that's an abuse, I believe, of appearance. And both of these are just an abuse of anticipation. Jesus says, and by the way, you need to hear this because sometimes we just read over it very quickly. It's the last part of verse 16. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. That's it. In our righteous, self-righteous sometimes, self-pious attitudes, is we want people to know where we are spiritually. Guess what? There's your reward. Why did Jesus say so much in these three sort of sermonettes in this message on giving, on praying, now on fasting? Why did he say, do it in secret? He said, because if you do it in secret with the right attitude of a focus and a dependency upon God, guess who's going to reward you? Yeah, God's going to do it. All right. So in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18, let's just talk about fasting by way of devotion. Not display, but by devotion. Very quick, notice this. He says in verse 17 and 18, "But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret." Now, stop right there for just a second. Just remind yourself that devoted fasting, and I'm talking about it's between you. Now, I understand that if your sweetheart comes up to you and says, "Honey, we're having lasagna tonight," and you have already made a commitment that you are going to be about spending time, placing your attention upon and focus upon the Lord and His work for you and your family and perhaps your job and people around you and all that kind of stuff, and you want to spend time, you may have to say, "Sweetheart, not tonight. But I've been working on this all day long. This is your favorite. I understand that. I'll eat soon, but not tonight." So you're abstaining from that in order that you might obtain time alone with God. There may have to be that quiet, but make sure that it's the attitude of the heart kind of announcement. You know. So therefore, devoted fasting does not reveal our outward appearance to men, but our inward worship to God. That's what fasting's all about. You want to change the... "Well, I'm going to fast so I can lose some weight." Well, that's good. Maybe you need to lose some weight. I guess we all do, somewhere along the way. But don't link that element of abstaining from food and things of that nature that gain weight to a connection to your worship with God. It may be that exactly where you are headed in and with the lack of that activity, but make sure that it is a devoted fasting. It does not reveal our outward appearance to men, but our inward worship of God. And that's the reason Jesus said, "But when you fast with your Father in secret," it's a worship experience between you and the Father. And then finally, notice that devoted fasting does not receive the praise of man, but the reward of God. What does Jesus finally say? "And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, I don't know how God wants to reward you. Now, that's not my call. And by the way, it's not yours either. But however God wants to, He'll do that. We're thinking oftentimes that, you know, "Well, when I do this, I'm going to get that." We sort of, you know, give God $100, God's going to give me $1,000. I mean, He's going to do it tenfold. Or He's going to give me $500. Or He's going to give me what I give. He's going to give me exactly that in return. That may be exactly what He's planning to do, but may not be. How about this? How about if I fast, I focus my attention in worship of God for His plans, His purposes, I abstain from whatever it is that's keeping me from that. It's like a wall or a barrier that's keeping me from the genuineness of that worship in order to obtain from God what He wants for me. And so I'm just going to just do it, and then the reward is going to be His. And He gives you one more day of life. That didn't have a lot of tickle to it, did it? Not a lot of tinsel on that one, was it? "You mean I'm not going to get a new car?" I mean, that's what we naturally go that direction. "I'm not going to get a big bank account? He's not going to put a pool in the backyard? What's wrong with God?" Nothing's wrong with God. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me when we have that kind of attitude? And so when we fast, ladies and gentlemen, what is it? It's abstaining in order to obtain. And that's what Jesus is all about. The gifts that He gives and the rewards that come are all from His hand. And it would be wise of us to constantly remember that. Let me leave you with this one little proverb. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. But, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. That makes sense? Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have allowed us to spend these wonderful moments together. This, I mean, this is a divine appointment for everyone in this room. It's a divine appointment. And I don't know what people are going through today. I don't know what people's the decisions they are facing. But Lord God, You do. You say man's goings are of the Lord. That the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know where they are. You know the hurt that they are experiencing. You know the thrill of the victory. So many of us are anticipating the days to come when in reality we have no promise for those days. So today's the day. Today is the day. And just as You have been teaching us in the righteous act of giving and praying, and today as we have looked at the righteous act of fasting, all of that gives us a very interesting perspective of You and Your love and Your desire to know us and for us to know You. Because ultimately You gave. You gave Your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That You prayed for us. That in this very setting, the Spirit of the living God is praying for open hearts and lives to be responsive and receptive to this wonderful message of the love of Jesus. And that, Father, interestingly enough, You fasted. 40 days, 40 nights, the Bible tells us that You were in the wilderness and that You fasted. And for what reason did You do that? You didn't have to, but You did because You wanted to abstain in order to obtain. All the stuff of the world was so it was not even important to You, but Your relationship to Your Father was. And You've done that for us. Now, Father, there are people that are here today that need to make a decision. Truly, they do. And with their heads bowed and eyes closed, and Father, just as You speak to their hearts, I just want to invite them right now, quietly, reverently, to think about what we're doing here. With heads bowed and eyes closed, just think about what we're doing here. Could you be here today and something just hit you right in the heart? I mean, indisputable, unquestionably, You know that God has spoken to your heart. It may be to give Your life, absolutely surrender Your life right here, right now, to Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. You're unsure about your future. You have no idea, if you were to die, where you would spend eternity. Big question mark there. You can settle that today if you'd like. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and life right now. Maybe you're here today as an individual, as a couple, as a family, and the warmth and the fellowship and the friendliness and the love of this church family has just absolutely enveloped you. And you just said, honey, today, or I am today, or we are today going to make this our church home. There's no music playing. We'll just, with heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you would just need to solidify that decision right now. So, with the quietness of this moment, serene, peaceful, you're in a safe place, my friend. Whatever the decision, maybe you just need someone to pray with you about something. Well, let us do that. And so I'm turning my microphone off so that no one could ever hear that conversation between you and me. About that decision or about that prayer need or whatever it might be, but if that's the need of your heart and life, I want to ask you right now, in just a moment, to just quietly slip up from where you're sitting, just walk down one of these aisles and just take me by the hand and say, this is the need of my life. So if you're coming, come on right now.